Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 28. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shown you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnessing in every city, saying that bounds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Amen. Amen. Precious Lord, we just thank you this morning. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of God's word. Thank you for the necessity of sound preaching, biblical preaching of repentance, salvation, and faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We continue in the series, The Word of God, and that's the name of it, The Word of God. And we've been talking about the Word of God. We've been talking about preaching the Word of God and the power of the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. And here we see the Apostle Paul in his, most likely his last conversation with the church in the book of Acts, the church of Ephesus, and he had planted. And now he's given them I believe he would call this marching orders, because Paul's on his way to Rome where he's going to die. He knows it. But before he leaves, he has this conversation. And really what he's talking about is the importance of God's word, the importance of preaching God's words. But in verse 17, I'm just going to look at verse 17, 18, and 19, because right where verse number 20 and 21 is where I want to rest my hat, so to say. But in verse 18, Paul says this. Well, 17, he's talking to the elders of the church. What's an elder?
The leaders.
He's talking to the leaders of the church, the pastors of the church. And again, he's trying to comfort them, trying to prepare them. He's on his way. He's on his way out. And he says in verse 18, and when they were come unto him, he said unto them, you know that from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you in all seasons. Basically saying, y'all watch me. Y'all watch me teach. Y'all heard my teaching. Y'all watch me live. Y'all seen how I lived. And every man of God should be able to say that. Every man of God ought to be able to say that to his congregation, to his leaders. Watch me as I model Christ-like behavior. That should be mandatory. Okay? And then he says in verse 19, he says, serving the Lord. That's the job of the man of God. The job of the pastor is to serve the Lord. You know, and then we take these calls, sometimes we take them lightly, and we think we can serve the Lord and still do everything else we want to do. But when Paul was called,
Paul was called, and he was called to serve the Lord. He didn't have a whole lot of wiggle room. He didn't have, he wasn't to get involved in a lot of other things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, you guys know this one. Paul said, I was determined, okay, to preach Christ and him crucified, because that was his call. That was his call, serving the Lord. And then he explains how he served him. How he served him. Not frivolously, not loosely. Paul said, serving the Lord how? With all humility of mind. Okay? With all humility of mind. Then it's indicating there's some striving and there's some effort involved in this. There's some sacrifice involved in this. Humility means a humbleness of service, a lowliness of service. Paul wasn't out there trying to get big and to blow himself up. Okay? It wasn't about Paul. It was about serving the Lord and serving the church. And he did it with humility of mind. And look at the next thing he says. And with many tears. With many tears. Not only was Paul a humble man, he never lost it. He never lost his humility. But because of his humility, there were some tears involved. There was some pain involved. There was some agony involved. There was some suffering involved. Where these tears come from? When you think about Paul, when you think about the thorn in the flesh that God gave Paul, and every one of us in here that serves the Lord, we got a thorn. Okay? See, we don't want to talk about our thorns, but everybody got a thorn. I'm not going to talk to you about my thorns. I'm going to talk to God about them, because there's nothing you can do about my thorns. And if I tell you about too many thorns, you might think I'm disqualified. So, but we all got thorns. And Paul's thorn, I think one of Paul's greatest thorns was this. He loved the Lord and he loved the preaching of the gospel. But in Philippians 3:18, he said this. He says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping. We talk about these tears, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. How about that? How about that? Paul saying there's some people who are in positions of leadership in churches that are actually enemies of the cross. Instead of leading people up, they leading people down. Paul said they are enemies of the cross. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 4, he says, for out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you many things with tears. With tears. A lot of times you preaching and preparing messages and dealing with folks, you have many tears. Many tears. And again, I'm just pushing this to the text. Not only Paul said that he had many tears, and he had many tears and all that. He says this in verse 20. He says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That'll bring you tears. We was talking about it in Sunday school. We got a gospel now that don't want to confront anything. Don't want to challenge anybody's lifestyle. Don't want to say nothing. And if you say anything, they charge you. Okay? Now, who would have ever thought that we live in a day and age now where if the preacher don't stand against homosexuality or abortion, they consider something wrong with the preacher. Uh-oh. And I'm sitting here, like, where have we turned? Preacher can't even say nothing about sin anymore. And I think this was Paul was talking about. The day's going to come where we just want to make everybody so happy. We want everybody to be so comfortable. Anybody ride bikes? You know, you ride a bike and you're on a bike, or if you walk and say you walk in your neighborhood and there's some hills, okay, and you know where the hills at because you walked this path before. It's easier walking down a hill than up a hill.
It's easier when you ride and
you know, you'll see people, you know, if you're coming up Gypsy Lane, I drive that way a lot, and I see people get off their bike and just push it.
Why? Because it's hard to pedal that bike up the hill. Okay, so they just get off and they're just walking up the hill. Then when they get to the top of the hill, they know they're going down, they get on the bike, and people are like, oh, they've been biking hard. No, they really haven't been biking hard. They got off the bike when it got tough.
Listen, Paul says this.
He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. What's Paul talking about? We're talking about the word of God. We're talking about this whole last 5 weeks I've been talking about the word of God. Paul says, I have taught you. Okay? Paul didn't say, I have entertained you.
That's right.
Okay? I have not come here to, and some teaching is difficult. Okay? If I was to take a show of hands in here, how many of us in here really like math and algebra and geometry? Some of us would. And that's a blessing. But most of us were like, nah, I don't, you know. A lot of times when Ray come home with his homework, you know, I had no problem. I can help you with the history. Maybe some English. But you start to bring home algebra and calculus and all the geometry. Now, I'm, you know, you better just go on YouTube. Okay, because it's just different. So, but some teaching is hard. I heard people over the years say, now I've gone to the school of hard knocks. Many of us have been there. Many of us have degrees from the school of hard knocks. Life has taught us some difficult lessons. Paul is saying, I have not denied to teach you anything that was profitable. And a lot of my lessons and a lot of you guys' lessons have been profitable. You grow through adversity. You grow through the trials. That's the song we were singing today. When we're singing today, when we get the glory, we'll tell the story.
Amen.
We'll tell the story of what? How I got over. Mm-hmm. Hell, you Jackson used to sing a song and said, when I look back, okay, my soul looked back and wonder how I got over. How did I deal with that? How did I deal with that situation? How did I even make it through? Here's our verse. Verse 21. Paul says to the people, he says, testifying. What a great word. Testifying means preaching the word of God with earnestness and a seriousness about it. He says, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, testifying. The seriousness of the gospel. Okay? You can hear some really far out messages in church anymore. Okay? But here's one. Paul's teaching them. No repentance, no heaven. No repentance, no salvation. No salvation, no heaven. What are you talking about, preacher? Watch what Paul's teaching. This ought to be the foremost at the front of all teaching. Testifying both to the Jews who thought because they were Jews, they had nothing to repent about. They were born Jews, so what are they going to repent about? We going to heaven because we're Jews. Paul said, no. That's not true. Paul said, you got to repent. You got to repent. What's that word repent mean? You got to turn. You got to change your way of thinking about Jesus. What did the Jews think about Jesus? A lot of them still think the same thing about him. He wasn't who he said he was. He wasn't the Messiah. He didn't come to die for our sins. How can he come to die for our sins? We don't have any sins. That's what Paul's saying. He's testifying to these Jews. He's testifying to these Jews the importance of repentance. Repentance. We live in a day and age now where you can be saved and never repent. There's countless of folks, you know, that have been saved supposedly and never turned from anything. How much sense does that make? Claire, how much sense does that make? You can be saved, but you never repent. You know, Jesus, when Jesus came, Mark chapter 1, Jesus come on the scene. Watch this now. It says in Mark 1:14, this is Jesus. Now, after that John was put in prison, what was John put in prison for? For the gospel of Jesus Christ. What was he preaching? He was preaching to Herodias and Herod that y'all need to repent. Turn from that mess you in. Turn from that illicit relationship and repent. That's what John the Baptist was teaching. And it cost him his head on a platter. Amen. Okay? His head on a platter. I thought about this yesterday. Jeremy and I and Levon went out to lunch yesterday. And Jeremy was trying to get this big old platter. He changed his mind. But I thought, and I spiritually, as soon as he said platter, I thought about it because this was in my message. And I'm like... He didn't know. I didn't say nothing to him. I didn't want to ruin his meal. But watch what Jesus says. Now watch Jesus' own words. Saying the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Watch this now. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay? Repentance and belief. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. Jesus is saying repent and turn. Turn away from your sins and believe the gospel. That's how you get saved. Godly sorrow. You can't be saved if you don't repent. If you're in here today and you say, well, you know, I'm on my way to heaven and you have not repented. If you're listening to me anywhere in the world, you say, well, you know, I'm saved. Well, there's got to be a point, time in your life where you repent. It has to be. Repent from what? I hear that. Repent from what? What do I need to repent from? Repent from unbelief. That's a good one. That's what the Jews had. They didn't believe Jesus was who he was. And God was calling them to repent from unbelief. Let me give you a verse. Peter's talking, preaching Pentecost to Acts 2:36. Peter says this. He just blistered them with the gospel. Okay? And he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Christ means Messiah. Jews didn't believe he was Messiah. Still don't. Now, verse 37, when they heard this, they understood what he said. They understood what he meant. They understood. The Bible says they understood. They heard this and they were pricked in their heart. Okay? They were pricked in their heart. I mean, their heart was affected by what Jesus said. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What should we do? I'm pricked to the heart. I know I need to turn. I know I need to do something because I'm not right.
Amen.
I'm not right. Watch Peter's answer. Peter's always quick to have an answer. And Peter said unto them, watch this now. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay? Repent and be baptized. Now we have a baptismal service next week. Ain't no use putting all that water in there. There might be some other folk that need to repent and be baptized.
Amen.
Ain't no use letting the water just go, you know, that one person. We can all line up. I had to do it again. Okay? I had to do it again. I tell you, I ain't ashamed of it. I think some a couple other of you had to do it again. Margaret told me she had to do it again. She had, got sprinkled. Margaret got sprinkled. She said, that ain't enough. You need to submerge me. To repent, change your mind about sin.
Change your mind about sin. Okay? Change your mind about sin.
Embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Lord and Savior.
Messiah.
Change your mind about it. Testify about it. Listen. Listen. Testify. Paul was a testifier. He earnestly proclaimed God's word to the point where it got under people's skin. Remember, Paul preached so hard and so dogmatically about the things of Jesus Christ that people took a fast. They said they weren't going to eat. They weren't going to eat until they had Paul dead. Folks don't want to turn. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He came running to Jesus, came running. And what must I do? What must I do to be saved? What did he say? He told him he needed to repent. So many words. You need to turn from that lifestyle. Go sell all that mess and come follow me. So we don't look at it as that being, he's telling Jesus, telling him to repent, but that's what he was just telling him. That lifestyle you live in is just not right. Go sell all that stuff and give it to the poor and come follow me. Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, screaming and hollering. I believe Paul was a screamer and a hollerer. Okay? Listen. 1 Thessalonians 2:11, he says this, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father to his children. Let me tell you something. Now I know a lot of folks have different relationships with their fathers. Some of us haven't had a father, didn't have a father, wasn't raised with a father. And I understand that. But let me tell you about my father. He wanted the best for me and for everybody in our family. And he didn't spare the rod. Okay? And that rod, when we got our whoopings, and he wasn't abusive. But when he took care of his business, it was him saying, okay. Paul wrote this. He said, he exhorted and comforted and charged. Three things. Exhorted.
Exhorted means I want you to do this willingly. Okay?
You proclaim the message. I want you to do it willingly. The word comfort me. I want you to do it with joy. Nobody want to hear no preacher preach that don't want to preach.
Amen.
Okay. Don't nobody want to hear no choir sing that don't want to sing. Here we go. We got to sing. This is fourth Sunday. It's our week to sing. Nobody want to hear that. Okay. Nobody want to hear a Sunday school teacher, well, you know, he's looking at the weather. Oh, hope it snow. Hope it rain. Hope it get too cold. I think this happens. Okay? Looking for a reason to cancel Bible study. Cancel Sunday school. To be charged means you want to make sure you do it carefully.
Paul comforted, he exhorted, he comforted, and he charged the people to do this. To do this.
Let's keep going. I want to talk about faith and repentance. I thought this was interesting. How many know you can't have one without the other? What do we think? When we think of two biblical words that go together, what two words we think? Your grace and mercy. Grace and mercy go together. Okay? Grace is what? Favor. Mercy is what? God giving us, not giving us what we deserve. Okay? Repentance and faith. You can't have one without the other. Can you explain that, Pastor? I sure can. Okay? Repentance means what? Regret, a sorrow for something. Faith means what? Confidence, belief in accepting something as true. Now I'm going to use some verses that we're really familiar with. And I don't know if we ever looked at them as grace and mercy or faith and repentance verses. See if you can pick it up. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What happens first? Faith. Faith. Wherefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the faith part. Now, what's the second part? What's the repentance part? All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you see, faith is believing and accepting Jesus Christ. And because you have, what's happened? You repented for some things. In order for old things to become new, there had to be what? Some turning. Some repentance. He says, behold, all things have become new. Look at John 14, 15. You don't have to just write it down. I'm just reading. If you love me, what's there? That's faith. It takes faith to love Jesus. You're not born loving Jesus.
Amen.
Okay, you're not born. Listen, first thing you know, well, mommy bought you a little Bible. You're not born loving Jesus. God has to give you the faith to believe, and then you'll love him. And then when you love him, what happens? You truly love him. You're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Okay? Now what happens when you love him? Let me read the verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Keep them mean what? Guard them. Live by them. Let me get you this one. I got a few of these. I thought this was interesting. First Corinthians 1:30. Listen what Paul says. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption. Look at the first part of that. Where are you at? But of him are you in Christ Jesus. What's that? Faith. That's faith. That's the faith part of the verse. You are in Jesus Christ because of your faith in Jesus Christ. God has given you the faith to believe. Now you're in Jesus Christ. And because of that, God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Because of your faith, you're going to live a certain way. Because of your faith in Jesus Christ, you're going to battle. You're going to strive. You're going to go after it. And you're going to have an understanding that because of who I say I am, I'm going to live a certain way. Let me say something. You're going to battle with that thing too. Yeah. Satan's going to do everything in his power to get you to doubt your faith.
Amen.
He's going to do everything in his power to get you to think that you don't have faith. And if he can't take your faith away because he didn't give it to you. Okay?
Amen.
But he can sure make your life a living hell. That's what he want to do. Why? Because the sign out there, and I told him, don't take it down. Let it stay up there. It might just be up there forever. Okay? Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Amen.
And if your faith is wavering all around, you're going to have a hard time pleasing God. You're not going to want to do anything for God. God going to make you believe. Satan going to make you believe you're not worthy. You're not worthy to do nothing for God. Look at you. And that's a lie from the pits of hell.
Amen.
Jesus struggled. All the disciples struggle. Every man or woman of God is going to struggle and going to battle and going to fight. Why? Because Satan knows how important it is to attack your faith. To attack your faith. And he's gonna attack, and he's gonna attack, because he knows without faith it's impossible to please God. Watch this now. Romans 8:9. Paul's writing again. He says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit." Well, I don't live like I'm in the spirit. I still got struggles. Everybody got struggles. You show me a Christian that don't have struggles, and I'll show you somebody that's not a Christian.
Amen.
Every Christian has struggles. See, Satan won't believe. If you're a Christian, you would be perfect. You would be perfect. Okay? That's a lie. And you know what? We buy that lie. We buy that lie. So many people, well, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, No. All who desire to live godly in Christ shall suffer, shall be persecuted. Who's going to do the persecuting? Who's the author of confusion?
Satan.
Satan. Suffering and going through, you wouldn't be going through if you didn't have the faith in you. You wouldn't care less. Listen, let me tell you something. When I was unsaved, and I don't like talking about this too much. I don't care about who feelings I hurt. Or being out of the will of God. Or I didn't care about being a hypocrite.
Amen.
Did you?
Amen.
Did anybody care about being a hypocrite when you were saved? I'd have been a hypocrite. Let me give you another one. Faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. Okay. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That's faith. That's faith. Paul's reminding the people, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? That's the faith part. Now watch the repentance part. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Okay? No, you're not. You're the temple of God. Okay? Guess what we have to do every week here at this temple? The temple we call this building. Every week come in here and do what? Clean it. Mop it. Sweep it. Pick up paper. That's life in the temple. And see, people got, well, this temple is holy and it's without sin. And let me tell you, it's a temple. And it needs what? Cleaning up every once in a while. Okay? Cleaning out, cleaning up. It just needs that. Okay? And who does that? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. And the Word of God will clean you out. It'll tighten you up. It's designed to do that. It's designed to do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, faith part. Now watch the repentant part. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. How's that the repentant part? Because the Word of God dwelleth in you, it's going to create a behavior that's fitting for one that believes. It's fitting for one that believes. Well, Pastor, what you talk about this faith, you talk about this repentance. How do I get it? How do I get it? You're not born with it.
Amen.
Repentance is a gift from God.
Amen.
You know, repentance. Well, you know, I don't have it. Repentance is a gift for God. You got to ask God for it. God, give me repentance. Give me the ability to repent from my sins. Acts 11. Paul's talking about this. These people say, well, you know what? I can't repent. You can't. But God giving you the ability to repent. He's got to give you the gift. We want the gifts of tongues. People want the gifts of speaking in tongues. And they want the gift of this and the gift of that. Give me the gift of repentance. You better get that one first. Okay? Here's Paul talking to the people in Acts 11:18. He said, and when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Watch this now. Saying that God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. How about that? If you have repented from your sins, God has given you divine favor. It was an act of God. And repentance is first in the food chain. You got to repent. The Bible says, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Here's Galatians. I know, I'm just going through scriptures today. You look at Galatians 5 and 18. Now, this is interesting because it just talks about all of us. All of us. I'm a us. I like us. Okay? 5:18. Y'all know this. Y'all know this verse. We talking about faith and repentance. We talking about past and the present. He said, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, what's Paul say? If you have repented, okay, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, are well known and well seen in many, which are these works of the flesh. And Paul lists a whole lot of them, so nobody can get away. Nobody can get away. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is sexual vice of all kinds. Okay? Witchcraft. Is that the next one? No, idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. Did I get everybody yet? Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such. Like a witch, I tell you before, and I have told you also, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's our past. Okay? We may slip every once in a while, and we're not going to be known for that. I won't be known as a envious, hatred, lasciviousness, adulterer. Okay? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Right. Fruit of the Spirit is love. God's love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Where you at, Pastor? Why are you going down this road? Because repentance is everything. Okay? Repentance is everything. And we don't talk about it anymore. We got this repentance Christianity anymore. Nobody repent. We just go to heaven in our sins. And that's not true. Because the Word of God says it. The Word of God says it. He says, and those which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And doing is different than struggling with it. Okay? Doing is different. Seriously, doing it is different than struggling with something. We all going to struggle and fight our way into heaven.
Amen.
Okay? The Bible says if the righteous scarcely be saved. Okay? The fact that you're trying to do right means you're going to struggle because wrong is going to be present all the time. You try to do right. The moment you say, you know what? I'm going to give my life to the Lord. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve him with everything I got. Let me tell you something. You're not going to serve him with everything you got. Because Satan's going to take some of that. He's going to battle you tooth and nail. He don't want God to get no glory out of any of you. He don't want God to get no glory. He want hell to be filled of church folks.
Amen.
Let me get ready to close. I talk about all this good faith. What about false faith? What about false repentance? How about that? You ever seen that? Anybody ever seen that? That's a screaming boy. He do that at night when I'm asleep. Listen. False faith and repentance. Watch this now. Remember Jesus. Jesus was doing some stuff. But you couldn't fool Jesus.
Amen.
Okay? I can fool some of y'all, and some of y'all can fool me, but neither of us can fool Jesus. Okay? In John 2:23, here's Jesus. He said, now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew what? All men. He knew all men. What did Jesus say? He knew that they was only following him. Why? Because he was doing the miracles. He was doing the miracles. How about that? And people were following him because they wanted to see him do another trick. He wanted to do. It was like a circus. Okay? And then when Jesus got done with all the miracles, they still wanted miracles. And Jesus called, he said in Matthew, he said, an adulterous, sinful generation seek after a sign. Okay? You go to the miracle church. And folks are there because they want to see a miracle. Uh-huh. Okay? Jesus in John 6 and 25, they were following Jesus. And Jesus had to call them out. Because Jesus wanted people to follow him because they were serious about faith. Serious about heaven. Serious about changing their lives. And it says, and Jesus, they was following him. He says, you follow me because you did eat the loaves and were filled. Some people call on Jesus when the storm is coming. How many know when we had the storm not too long ago? We had the storm, and I think Cindy was at the grocery store at Walmart, and it was just packed because the weatherman said everything going to be shut down. Everything going to be shut down. And the churches was closing, and on the bottom of the TV, everything was closing down, and people was going to Walmart and the grocery store, Giant Eagle, and the shelves were getting empty. Why? Something was coming. Okay? How many remember 9/11 when the planes flew into the Twin Towers and you couldn't find a seat in the church? What happened? What happened when the storm passed by? Okay? Business as usual. Okay? You know, you got 6 months to leave. Dr. J got 6 months to leave. Your brother died. Your cousin died. Your sister died. Your uncle died. Your father died. What do? Call the preacher. Call the preacher. And then you comfort me, say something nice, tell me something I can hold on to. You know what? And what happens? What happens when the storm passes? When the pain ceases. Remember Pharaoh. Now I wrote down the 10 plagues. God hit him with everything he had. He hit him with everything he had. Blood, frogs, lice, flies, cattle, boils, locusts, darkness, hell, fire. And it took the death of his son to let the Israelites go. But he said something interesting in Exodus 12:32. He said something interesting. Pharaoh said something interesting when he let the people go. Remember, I said, send for the preacher. He says, take your flocks and your herds, and as you have said, and be gone. Pharaoh said to the people of Egypt, Israel, be gone. Be gone. You called in enough pain. Be gone. Watch what he says on the end. And bless me also. And bless me also. But what happened when the blessing wore down? What happened when the pain went away?
He mounted up
and went right back to being his old self. Right at the end of it. What did he have? What kind of faith did he have? What kind of repentance was that? It wasn't real. It wasn't real. Here's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. We talk about it a lot. It's old King Agrippa. King Agrippa. King Agrippa.
Paul gave King Agrippa the business. If you read Acts 26, Paul told King Agrippa everything that had happened to him. Gave him a whole testimony, almost a whole chapter long. And then he asked King Agrippa. He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? Believest thou the prophets? Why did Paul say that to him? Because the prophets proclaimed that Jesus Christ was coming. He said, do you believe the prophets? Then Paul said, I know that thou believest. Why? Because he had private conversations with King Agrippa. He knew that King Agrippa believed. And then King Agrippa said unto Paul. He said unto Paul. And I think he might have whispered this to Paul, because he didn't say, Paul, listen, not in front of all these people. You know, people can stop you from believing. Family members can stop you from believing. Loved ones can stop you from believing. Your children can stop you from believing. Too many parents want to be cool, so cool with their children. They don't want to, well, mom, I ain't on church, ain't cool. He said it to Paul. He said unto Paul. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, how many folks do you know? Almost Christians. How many of us have almost Christians in our lives? Almost. Listen, as I close. Repentance and faith. Okay, people say, well, you know what? I got saved. Let me say this. Nobody in here got saved. Okay? Let me say that again. Nobody in here got saved. Okay? Everybody in here is being saved. It's not a one-time event. I got saved. You know, a lot of people, you know what, I take that back. A lot of people got saved and that's all that happened. They got saved, and what is sanctification? Continually walking and growing, and God continually chipping away and molding and building us up. Some of us are being sanctified and they don't understand it. We don't understand the sanctifying process. Well, when you get to God, when you get the glory, you understand it better by and by. Some of us can't serve God because we don't understand the sanctification process. I struggle. I'm going through this. Listen, let me tell you something. I wouldn't even be up here. I would be disqualified from preaching if it was because I wasn't perfect. Or I didn't have it all together. Or if I had a bad week. I'd be like some of the preachers in Youngstown. I would need 15 preachers. I wouldn't be able to preach, but maybe 10 times a year. If I had a good week, I'm going to preach. Let me tell you something. I ain't had no good weeks. I would be totally disqualified. It was up to me in living the perfect life to be qualified to be a preacher. Amen. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Okay? Listen. Let me give you the three phases of sanctification, okay? You got your past. That's justification. That's your past. You were justified, okay? You got your what they call positional sanctification. That's where you at right now, going through. You right now, you put what they call positional sanctification. How about that? Positional, who you were, your past, your present sanctification. How about that? Presently, right now, you being sanctified. You sitting up under the word of God, you heard songs saying, you heard the prayer, you right now in the present, you being sanctified. The very fact that you came to church, you ought to feel better. Leaving, you get to hear the word of God. You get to hear what songs sing. You get to fellowship. You get to go to Sylvia's meeting afterwards. Amen. You ought to feel better. That's your present, your present sanctification. What's the last one?
glorification. Your future, you got a world ahead of you. Okay? You got a life ahead of you. Life don't end for the Christian when we die. We got a future sanctification, or somebody call it glorification. So you got your justification, you got your sanctification, and you got your glorification. Where you at now? You going through. God is sanctifying you. You think the process is simple? You ever try to wash or brush a baby's teeth? Or take one of them. Here, how about this? This is the one I see Karina doing with them kids. And I'm like, she take this little ball, and it's got like a thing you suck the mucus out of their nose. Don't no kid just walk over to Karina and say, suck the mucus out of my nose. She's sitting there in a hog tie and a headlock and everything else. And see, sometimes God had to do that to sanctify us.
Amen.
He had to hold us and squeeze us. Listen, I got to do this. And it ain't going to be easy. And it ain't going to be pleasant. It ain't going to be fun. And we don't like that part of us. We just turn our back on it. Keep fighting. Keep battling. Keep battling. Because God is chipping away at you. And some things he's chipping at, we don't want to be chipped off. Something we just hold on to, and God said, you gotta let this go, and we hold on to it, and the process is difficult. Believe me, I'm talking from what I know.
Amen.
Okay. I hope y'all ain't looking out there looking up here like, man, that preacher got it all together. Preacher being chipped on too. Preacher got his own battles and got his own thorns and got his own cross to bear and all that too, and it's all going on. Okay. And know what I always say? God didn't call me to preach my life.
Amen.
He called me to preach his. And if he was at the qualifications, what you had to have it all together to preach or teach or do anything, there wouldn't be no preachers. There wouldn't be nobody singing. There wouldn't be no preachers. There wouldn't be nobody praying. Nobody would be qualified to do nothing if the qualification, we had to have it all together. Am I making any sense? Oh, God, I am. So what do we do with this message? How do we apply this to our lives? Well, you know what? We're going to go through. We're going to be repenting. We're going to be doing sanctification. God is going to be chipping away at us all the way to glory. All the way to glory. That's how you know you're on the right path. If the road get too smooth, you automatically ought to know you're on the wrong road. Okay? If it get too smooth and you ain't got no obstacles and no challenges, no persecution, no nothing, then you probably on the wrong road.
Amen.
Okay? And if you're on the wrong road, and when you die, you're going to wake up in the wrong place. Okay? So if you on your way to Atlanta and you keep seeing signs that say north, okay, I mean, if you're on your way to Atlanta and all 71 North, and you on 71 North and you think you're on your way to Atlanta, guess what? Okay, you're going to end up in Detroit somewhere. Okay? So understand that. Understand